Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, you, 844-326-3663. That is the number for the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line, 844-326-3663. Hit us up. Jump on board. You can shoot a text to that number. You can call that number and get on the air. In the final hour of the show, we're going to talk some Atlanta Braves baseball. They've got two more games on the road at the New York Mets. Then three back home for the Phillies. The Angels, then they've got the Orioles, the Athletics to wrap up the first half of the season. I'm going to give you my hopeful expectations for what we're going to see. We've got the NBA draft. Round one is tonight. Round two is tomorrow. We're going to talk here in just a few minutes about some of the trades and acquisitions that have been made over the past 2 days leading up to the draft, as well as some of the things we expect to see in the draft tonight. Have y'all followed the saga of Ace Bailey? Expected to be a top 4 or 5 pick, really was probably expected to be a top 2 pick after Cooper Flagg, but there's been some interesting discussion. He apparently has been very, let's say, selective in his draft lead up. He apparently has been missing or not scheduling workouts with teams inside the top 5. One of the teams that it has been discussed is very interested in Ace Bailey is the Philadelphia 76ers. Apparently, their GM and owner tried to schedule a dinner with Ace Bailey. This is a pretty common practice across the leagues as we approach drafts. Tried to schedule a dinner with Ace Bailey, and he just flat out turned him down. Was like, nah, I'm good. I appreciate it. Y'all still might draft me, but like, we don't need to have a conversation. There was a soundbite that I heard this morning from this kid where the media in Philly was kind of grilling him a little bit, which is fine. Kids coming into the NBA. You're in the association now. You should expect to not be softballed all the time. And a guy said, hey, man, talk to me about your decisions about working out, not working out, selectively working out, skipping out on dinners, skipping out on meetings with team officials that might be interested in drafting you, whatever. And Ace Bailey gave a response. I'm a pro player guy. I am historically known for giving players, even long-term vets, certainly young guys coming into any given league, giving them some grace, giving them a little bit of wiggle room, if you will. I'm having a hard time doing that here with Ace Bailey's decision-making process. And the reason why is the answer he gave when he was asked by a media member to kind of walk through the process of how he's doing what he's doing to get acquainted with teams that might very well draft him. The guy said, can you walk me through the process? Why aren't you working out? Why have you refused some workouts? Why aren't you taking dinner meetings? And Ace Bailey gave perhaps the most rehearsed media answer any player could give. Oh, I can only control what I can control. And the guy's like, okay, what can you control? And he said, and I quote, playing basketball, end quote. So playing basketball is all I can control. And the media member, because, again, the folks that cover sports in the Northeast, there's no chill, as the kids say. The guy said, wait a minute. Don't you control your workouts? Don't you control who you meet with? Don't you control who you accept interviews and conversations and phone calls and dinner reservations with? Don't you control that stuff? And Ace Bailey was like, I'm just here to play basketball. I'm just here. And it's like, dude, like that's what we're trying to get you to do. We're trying to get you to play basketball. We're trying to get you on a team. You are probably already going to see your draft stock slide a little bit. Ace Bailey, a couple of months ago, was probably the number two pick in this NBA draft. I have seen him in some mock drafts still available on the board when my Pelicans select at number eight. And I'm going to tell you, if you would have told, like, May Rob Brown that Ace Bailey would be on the board when the Birds selected eight, I would have said, spectacular. A lot of teams swing and a miss on that one. This kid is top two, top three talent. If he's available at eight, there's a reason for that. You tell June 25th, NBA draft day number one, Rob Brown, that Ace Bailey's available at eight for the Birds. And I'm not saying he will be. I'm saying I've seen some mocks where he is. You tell me that today, and my response is, man, I don't know if I want him. I don't know if I want him. I think there's some other guys in this draft that I might be more interested in, not because they are better basketball players, because I think that if Cooper Flagg turns out to be the guy that everybody's trying to tell us Cooper Flagg is going to be at the next level, there's only one better pure basketball player in this draft, and that's the guy who is guaranteed going number one overall tonight. The problem I have that kind of turned me off to this cat is, listen, I'm not saying you got to accept the workout with all 30 teams. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much of a hothead he is. He's not falling to 20. Right? So you don't really need to worry about workouts and dinners with teams that are drafting 18, 19, 20 and below because they're not drafting you. But the fact that there are teams inside the top 6, 7, 8 that are trying to schedule times, schedule meetings, schedule dinners, schedule workouts with you, basically what you're telling me is you are going to be selective about where you go play. And if you end up in a place where you don't want to go play, I'm probably not going to get my 4 or 5 seasons of the best basketball that I could possibly get out of you. I got no issue with guys getting drafted to New Orleans, doing their 4 or 5 years, recognizing that my program is owned and operated by a bunch of imbeciles and deciding that they want out because the way the team is set up can't win.
Let me make a quick comparison. Okay, I've been watching LFG, which is a wrestling show, and they're getting ready to draft prospects. And his second season, so the Undertaker whispers to this guy who had the year before, who he once again dog it a little bit. And so he comes out and he's dogging it the entire time. And then he fuels it by going, man, what's wrong with him? Why is he looking like that today? He's not taking it serious this year. How do you know that his agent hasn't already had contact, whether they're supposed to or not, with a certain team that has said, hey, dog it. Dog it a little bit. We're going to take you, but to make sure you're there and we know you want to play here, you got to do some things that some other teams are not going to like.
I don't know that that isn't happening. I don't know that that hasn't happened. I don't know that that will happen again or won't happen again. I don't know is the answer to that question. Is it possible that players, and not just in the NBA, but players in any draft class of any sport look and they go, you know, if I get picked second, I got to go to Cleveland, and I really don't want to go to Cleveland. So maybe I'll go out there and I'll kind of stink it up in the combine a little bit. I'll go out there and stink it out in the workouts. I'll go out there and kind of be a heel to keep the wrestling theme going for a little while. I'll go out there and be a little bit of a heel so that maybe that team goes, yeah, you know what? We're not interested. Bad head on his shoulders, bad mentality, doesn't want to be a great player. And so even if he is faking it, we're not going to draft him. That is certainly a possibility. It is also a possibility that he just knows, I don't want to play in Philadelphia. And let's be real. I don't blame him for that.
Oh, me either. I mean,
Philly stinks.
There's a certain amount of gamesmanship, but the thing is, you can hurt yourself really bad by doing it if that's what he's doing, because you could make it where no one wants to draft you.
Absolutely. I mean, it is possible if you go to, and again, I think we're kind of working on conspiracy theories here, but it is possible that if he's looking at the opening round of the draft tonight, if he is looking at Philly, who is drafting third, we know Cooper Flagg is going one.
Have you heard that he's had this kind of a problem throughout his playing career, however long that is in college?
No, but at
and then
the
this suddenly happens. I don't know.
No, but at the same time, even though, yes, Ace Bailey came up in the NIL era of college basketball, at the same time, we're not talking about college football players here, right? Like, genuinely, I want you to think, in the last handful of years, who are the, in college athletes that you have seen sign major NIL deals? The answer is Cooper Flagg and Caitlin Clark, right? Like, that's the list. That's it. Victor Wembanyama, but he came from France. He wasn't a college guy. Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith on the women's side, I would say, are in that group. But as far as male college basketball players, it's effectively Cooper Flagg, right? He had that New Balance deal that put him at an estimated NIL valuation of what we decided was 28 and some change million dollars. So a lot of guys, especially if they are dudes that know that they are getting drafted, and they know they are getting drafted not just in the first round, but in the top half of the first round, the reality is, no matter how big of a whatever you are, if you got that much talent, a team's going to roll the dice. They're going to go, maybe this guy's a hothead, maybe he's lazy, maybe he's entitled, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. You guys have heard me say for a while that one of the reasons that y'all are dealing with so many entitled athletes out there, if you believe that they are, and there certainly are some, one of the reasons that y'all are dealing with so many entitled athletes is because you're setting them up for that when they are kids. I've told you the story about the kid I played high school football and basketball with. This kid was a phenomenal player, went on to be an SEC record holder at a major school playing wide receiver. I also know that this kid had teachers and administrators and coaches and parents when he was in high school following him around and doing everything he wanted them to do, giving him leeway in situations that other players would have been outright kicked off of teams for, making his life easy as it could be so that he wouldn't transfer high schools and go play somewhere else. And so it doesn't shock me when that kid at 15, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old is getting treated that way. When he gets to college and that treatment continues, and he goes through one or two or three years of college with that same treatment, that when it's time for him to go to the pros, he doesn't just kind of assume that's how it's going to be, because it's all they've ever known. When you were talking about kids who are going to make the NBA, they know who these kids are in high school. They are the best basketball player, unless you're from like a big city. If you're from kind of a smaller city, if you have got NBA potential, they know it in middle school, right? Like the kid I played with who we knew was going to go on to be a major D1 athlete, we knew in middle school, this kid's special. This kid's different. This kid's got athletic ability even as a middle schooler that's got him able to go out as a middle schooler and compete with and beat most of the varsity players from the local high schools. It was known. And so since middle school, this kid had everything handed to and done for him. I'm not saying that is the case with Ace Bailey. What I'm saying is, even if it is the case with Ace Bailey, and even if all these things are perfect descriptions of him, and even if he is an entitled brat of a basketball player, somebody's still going to give him a chance. Somebody's still going to roll the dice and go, okay, like maybe we get him in here with a coach who can kind of talk him down off that ledge and help him realize before he gets out there his rookie year and gets his ass handed to him because now he is not demonstrably better than everybody else. Maybe we can coach that out of him before his confidence breaks. Or maybe we bring him to this small Midwestern city where there's nothing to do and he picks up the blue-collar mentality. Maybe. But somebody's going to look and say, you know, I don't really care if he's not showing up to workouts that he has scheduled with teams. I don't really care that he is turning down dinners with owners and general managers of teams that have a top three pick. I'm not talking about turning it down with teams that are drafting 20th and 21st. That would make sense. There is a 0.000000% chance that he's on the board at 15, 16, 17. Even if he came out today and said, yeah, I canceled and didn't show the workouts and I didn't accept dinner invitations to Philly because screw Philly. Their team's dumb. Their best player sucks. Their coach is an idiot. Their GM's a moron. I have no interest in being there. People would look at that and go, yeah, that's not a great mentality to have. That's not a great mentality to bring to the league. But you know what? Phenomenal dribble drive, phenomenal three-point shot. Phenomenal outside perimeter player. Phenomenal talent. We're going to give him a shot. Maybe we can build that up. I think that's what Ace Bailey might be counting on here. Here's what I'm interested in. Does he fall? Is he available when the Birds are on the clock? I said at 8. It's at 7. Is he available when New Orleans is on the clock at 7? If not, is he available when Brooklyn's on the clock at 8? Houston. Could he be trying to force his way to Houston and say, I want to play with Kevin Durant? Could he be trying to force his way to, Chicago at number 12 and say, I want to be the next Jordan? I want to be the guy they unretire 23 for. I don't know is the answer. What I do know is this is the single most dramatic thing happening around this NBA draft. And I will be tuned in alongside the Atlanta Braves game against the New York Mets tonight. I will be tuned into that just to see who rolls the dice, to see if we get any clues that this was the plan all along, to get any clues that the kid's just an entitled head case and he's going to be a problem, or if he just really is a dude who just wants to play basketball and all the other stuff doesn't matter to him. If you want me, draft me, and if you don't, don't. I don't know.
I have a prediction. He goes to the Lakers and he and Bronny are like the dynamic duo for the next 10 years.
The Lakers, if I recall correct, I don't think the Lakers have a first-round draft pick this year. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't.
Then he'd have to drop a lot, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Maybe they can draft him, 55th overall? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Your comments next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin. at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Son of a biscuit, that's two on the week. Woof. Woof.
And this is my week back vacation. I should be the one, but it's Wednesday. I still got time.
All right. Let's skip around some of the comments that y'all have left on the live stream, which of course is available at facebook.com/thefanupstate or by searching and subscribing or following The Fan Upstate on Twitter or on YouTube. If you'd like to join the live stream, you can also search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. If you're one of you younger millennials who's into the streaming world, we got you on Twitch at The Rob Brown Show. You can also text the radio program on the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Let's get into some of the text, tweets, and comments that you guys have left on the radio program throughout the show today. Texter said about Arch Manning, Rob, has there ever been a college football player that has as much expectation as Arch? He has to be amazing. How can he live up to that? I mean, the answer I would say is yes, Texter, but I would say there have not been very many of them.
By the way, there have been in other positions, but in quarterback, it's been, can you name any other quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, look, Gunnar Stockton now at Georgia had.
No, I think it's expectations because of family name.
Now, that might be true. I don't think there have been as many prodigy quarterbacks that are connected to a world-famous quarterbacking family like Arch. And maybe that's the additional pressure that turns my maybe into a yes to your comment there, dear Texter. But I would also say, as much as it is about living up to the Manning family name, and even the Mannings have said, Arch has got the most talent that any of us had. Remember how good Peyton was at Tennessee, but Peyton Manning never beat Florida. Remember how good Eli Manning was at Ole Miss, but Eli never took Ole Miss to any major bowl games when he was there. The argument that even the Mannings have made is that Arch Manning may very well be the most talented at this stage of his career. And because of that, Texas is being projected not just as a Southeastern Conference champion, something we all know is very difficult to accomplish, but he is also being discussed as a national champion and a Heisman Trophy winner, and the kid has not played one snap as the designated official and permanent QB1. So I think it's fair. There is I'll put it this way. Lonzo, if Arch Manning succeeds this year, we can have the argument about what the subjective metric for success is, but if Arch Manning succeeds this year. And I haven't decided what that means to me, whether it means win the Heisman, win the SEC, win the Natty, I don't know.
See, I don't think he needs any of that. I think success for him is playing well enough to get drafted high.
If he accomplishes success with everything that is on his head taking over for Quinn Ewers as QB Uno there at the University of Texas, I got a lot less problems with the Saints drafting him high next year. If he collapses, if he crashes, if he ain't that guy, if he's disappointment, if he's one of the disappointments of college football this year, then I would say I don't really care if he's a Manning. And as much as I would love to see a Manning return to New Orleans and lead us back to the promised land with Kellen Moore, I can't take it from a dude who had all this pressure on him, whether it is fair or not, and did not succeed, because whoever the next full-time, definite, multi-year starter for the Saints is at QB, whether it is Arch Manning or Tyler Shook or Spencer Rattler or whoever, there's going to be an immense amount of pressure, because the New Orleans Saints, a team that probably should have been spending the last two or three off seasons rebuilding and getting under a new general manager, have done none of those things. So the pressure is going to be immensely high, and that concerns me. Texter said, Rob, selling the visitor arena out comes after you are an NBA superstar. I don't think that's unfair, but I would also say, and this goes back to the clip we played where Magic Johnson was asked, what is an NBA superstar to you? And Magic kind of rolled up three different qualifiers into one answer. One of them was he sells out arenas when he goes on the road. Number two was he gets you to championships and helps you win them. And number three was he makes all the players around him better. Some guys do that by actively playing to the guys. Some guys do that by just being so damn good at what they do, they open the floor up for you. And some guys do both. The superstar to me does both. I don't think there are a lot of young superstars, with the exception of the, you know, Victor Wembanyamas. Stephon Castle last year over in San Antonio, as the Spurs have selected back-to-back rookies of the year, meaning I think they're going to be good for a while now, assuming that without Pops, they can find their way. We'll see. Stephon Castle was your rookie of the year last year. Stephon Castle had a spectacular year for the Spurs in year number one. How many times have you heard about Stephon Castle this year? Very few.
I was trying to remember who it was.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, is that Stephon Castle's fault? Or is that the fault of the fact that Magic's first point, which is he sells out arenas, that's what makes any player a superstar, that's on us. That's on us to buy the tickets. I will tell you right now, I didn't make it to any NBA games this year. I'm very disappointed in myself. But every year before the season, and I've done this the past 4 or 5 years, there's a group of the fellas here in town, and we look at the schedule for the Atlanta Hawks, and we look at the schedule for the Charlotte Hornets, and we pick out a couple of games for each team on weekends when we can all go, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon games that we can go to. And I will tell you that the majority of the games that we have selected over the years have been for one of two reasons. The lesser of the two reasons is because a real bad team's coming to town and we're going to get to go watch one of the local teams that we cover win a game, fingers crossed. Or reason number two is because a team with a superstar that we either have not gotten to see play in person or maybe we'll never get the opportunity again. I am mad at myself, because I saw LeBron James play a game in his, I think, rookie year or maybe second year when the Cavaliers came down to play New Orleans very long ago. I think it was New Orleans, maybe somewhere else. But I saw LeBron play as a very young player. LeBron and the Lakers came to Charlotte last year. Myself and P1 Keegan were putting a trip together up to Charlotte to go watch LeBron play in a game. Because it's like, all right, we're probably not going to get a lot of these chances after this, let's head on up to C-Town and go watch LeBron play. And then when it got time and the game was rolling around, Keegan and I were texting back and forth, and I don't remember what it was, but I had something going on that weekend, and you know, Keegan's a photographer. He had like a wedding shoot that booked last minute that was going to pay him good money. I don't remember what the reason was, but basically, we both had real life stuff pop up that precluded us from going to watch LeBron and the Lakers play at Charlotte. And I watched the game that night on TV, and I got real mad at myself. Now, at the time, we didn't know, we still don't know, if LeBron's coming back next year or not. I think at this point, the fact that it's draft night and they haven't announced it means he probably is. But I thought to myself, you know, if he retires, I probably just cost myself my last opportunity to see LeBron play.
That said he's going to opt in.
My bet is he does. Yeah. I think if he wasn't, he would have probably told the Lakers that already and started to shift over to whatever his broadcasting, I assume, career is going to look like. But at the time, we didn't know any of that. So at the time, I was pretty upset that I probably just caught or maybe cost myself the last chance to see LeBron James play in person. That is the definition of a superstar. That is Magic's definition of a superstar, of which I agree with one of his metrics, that you want to see the guy play. If there is a player, not a team, but a player that me and the boys go, fellas, Saturday night we're heading down to Atlanta to go to State Farm. Fellers, me and the boys are heading up Saturday to Charlotte to go watch so-and-so play. That's a pretty good indicator that that guy is a superstar. But I also think that for me, we should change the emphasis to really, really good basketball player. Because you'll notice the one thing that in that sound clip we played that I'm responding to, the texter's response to from Magic Johnson, you know what the one thing he did not say was? Which kind of, I think, is the point. The one thing he didn't say was really good basketball player. It was sells out arenas, takes you to championships, makes everybody around him better. Now, I think takes you to championships probably includes is a really good basketball player. But in that answer, Stephen A. Smith, in the only thing I'll probably give him credit for this week, said, so you're not talking about on-the-court talent or skills. You're just talking about selling tickets. And Magic was like, well, no, he's got to take you to he's got to take you to championships. He's got to make the other guys around you better. But when asked to clarify, are we talking about just be a good basketball player? Magic didn't say yeah. He said, well, you got to go to championships. So I don't know. Texter said LeBron chased rings because he wanted to be in the same era as Jordan and other greats, not because of fans' opinions. He's being a hypocrite due to his career coming to an end and knowing he can't catch up any further. Well, let's hang on with that because let's keep in mind that while I do not necessarily know that the Lakers are a championship contender next year, they do have Luka Doncic. And Luka heard the whole back half of this year how the team falling apart late was on him. They go get a 7-footer. There's no reason the Lakers aren't a threat next year. And if he goes and gets a 7-footer and the Lakers were to say, become the dark horse and win the title next year, LeBron ties Kobe. So that's not incorrect. He needs 2 to catch Jordan. You're right. He's probably not getting 2 more. He'd have to probably win back-to-back. But he can catch Kobe. And if he's caught Kobe and he's 1 behind Michael, I would say that text goes out the window, right? Texter said, tell Rob the Angels are 39-40. Yeah, I know. I'll talk about the Braves when we come back here in just a minute. Texter said, you have to at least mention Wilt and Kareem in the NBA GOAT discussion, but really all you can argue is whether someone is the best of his generation. I actually do agree with that take. I agree there in the discussion. I also agree because, again, would Wilt Chamberlain have beat Shaquille O'Neal? Absolutely not. But it was a different era. Would Kareem the Dream have been able to overpower Shaquille O'Neal? No. But it's a different generation. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Kevin says Robert Horry has 7 rings. There's my point. That's exactly my point. Kevin, good text. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Texter said, I think it is two different arguments if you're talking about whether the player is great or if a player is in the GOAT conversation. I don't disagree with that either. I completely agree with that. Like, one of the examples that just popped into my brain, Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry is a great player. I think Steph Curry is the GOAT shooting player in the history of the NBA. I do not think that Steph Curry has any right to be included with Michael, LeBron, Magic, Kobe, Kareem, Wilt, those guys that we do put into the GOAT discussion. Now, to go one step further, and then I'm going to go away from this for the last couple minutes of the show, I promise. To address the text that I read, I said I agree with on the way out. Texter said, and I think I heard Michael Jordan say this one time actually too. He said, you can have a discussion. Spike said, really all you can argue is whether someone is the best of his generation. And I agree with that. This is why I have said it is fine to say that, and I'm going to switch it to baseball for a minute, but it's because it's the most dramatic example I can come up with. It is fine to say that Babe Ruth was the greatest player of his generation. And it is fine to say that he's in the conversation for the GOAT. But Babe Ruth is not anywhere near the stratosphere of player that Shohei Ohtani is. It just can't keep up. And I've made the kind of joke argument before of, I will not hear a GOAT conversation about a baseball player who played his baseball before black guys were allowed in the Major League Baseball ranks. I'm not going to hear it. If you didn't play at a point in time where black guys and Latin guys could play, no, you're not in the discussion. But to emphasize what Spike was saying there, for me,
was that his fault?
No, but it doesn't take away from it. I'm not convinced because, again, they lifted segregation for Major League Baseball, and what happened? Jackie Robinson showed up and was already one of the greatest players of all time. Like, just showed up and was in that conversation for his generation. It's not his fault, but I'm also not going to say that I can say Babe Ruth dominated his generation the way that Shohei Ohtani dominates his generation, when Babe Ruth's generation just only had old white guys in it. And Shohei is playing literally international Major League Baseball. The greatest players on the planet are getting found and brought to America, and Shohei's kicking all their asses. That's why. Now, as far as the GOAT discussion goes, here's how it breaks down to me, and then I promise we're going to get away from it to wrap up the show, and I won't bring it up tomorrow, unless somebody else says something, and then I will. The GOAT conversation breaks down to me like this. The first conversation is, are they the best player of their generation? Because I agree with you, Spike. I agree with Michael Jordan. You can only compare directly players that played against other players that they played against. I cannot sit here and pretend to have any idea of what Magic Johnson would look like in today's NBA. I don't know. I don't know what Kareem would look like. We can all speculate, as I said a few minutes ago. Do I think that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, fantastic player, one of the greatest bigs of all time, do I think Kareem is backing Shaq down in the paint? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So to be the greatest of all time, are you saying you could place them in any era?
No. I think...
Because I think Shaq's good no matter where, what era you're
I agree
him.
With that. I think there are some players...
Because he's such a freak of nature.
I think there are some players that you can say would transcend. But because I can't judge everybody that way, because the game that is played is so different. Shaq's game is a universal five game that would fit in any era, without a doubt. Kobe's game may or may not fit in today's era. It would maybe not would be able to get away with it in the 80s when it was much more physical, in the 70s when you were allowed to straight up physically accost offensive players when they drove the paint. I don't know. So I think the conversation breaks down to, are they the GOAT of their era when they are playing other guys who are playing the same NBA basketball they're playing? And then you can group up all of the guys that are in the their generation's GOAT conversation, and you can say who was the owner of the sport in their generation and who was further ahead as the owner of their sport and generation than other guys that were the voice of their generation. And I think that's how that conversation breaks down to me. That being said, LeBron James is one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. Do I think LeBron? I would even go so far as to say, great one, I think LeBron James, and I think Michael Jordan's this way, I think LeBron James and the way he plays basketball, you could transport him to any era and he would be wildly successful. I think Mike's the same way. I think Kobe probably is. But a lot of these guys like Kareem, I don't think Kareem could be transported to today's NBA and be as successful as he is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Let's see here. Texter said, Braves, well done last night. Finally had that much needed big inning. Unfortunately, the Mets have now lost 10 out of 11 and are playing horrible. The Phillies are a different animal. The real chase is the Phillies. Braves won't catch them. A third wild card bid is achievable, but unlikely still. Braves lack consistency. That's from Dewey. Dewey, for the disagreement text you have sent this show the last couple of days, you and I are not in disagreement at all. I completely agree with you. Now, I am going to say this. I do think the Mets, as consistently poorly as they're playing right now, I think it's cold bats. Again, they had an opportunity last night to, when the Braves got into the pen and were going with a roster of guys last night that have straight up stunk this year, I think that the Mets are battling the law of averages. They were so high above their expected performance level that now they've come back down to it, but they've overcorrected. I think the Mets are going to be fine. I do think the Braves could theoretically, if everything goes perfectly for the rest of the ride, I do think that the Mets could theoretically be caught by the Braves, but they would have to keep Metsing down the stretch. And the Braves are just going to have to play better ball. I have given you my expectations for the Braves for the rest of the second half, of which we are now 3 weeks away, because the end of the first half is the same week as SEC Media Weeks. I've told you what the Braves have left ahead of them. They've got two more against the New York Mets. I'd love to take one of the two and win this series outright. Then, back home Friday, Saturday, Sunday for three against Philly. If the Braves take two out of the three, I'm feeling pretty good about the end of the second half. Three against the Angels. Take two of those three, I'm feeling pretty good. Take two or three against Baltimore at home. Take two, preferably three, at Oakland. Take two, preferably three, at St. Louis. I'll put it this way. If the Braves just win of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 series after this Mets one concludes, if the Braves win four of the five series to wrap up the first half, I may come into the second half with a little bit, just the smallest fading glimmer in the distance.
Did you let them know so they'll have something to work for?
I'll clip this into a video later today, and I'll send it over to Brian Snicker.
There we go. All right, time to find out what the X is going on. First thing it's Xing is Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is Xing because he joined the Pat McAfee show yesterday and was asked outright, is this the last ride of Aaron Rodgers? And he said, yeah, I think that it is. He said, there's a reason I signed a one-year deal with Philly and not two. The reason why I signed a one-year deal, says Aaron Rodgers, is because this is it. This is my last year. He has spoken a couple of times about expectation. I will say I read a couple of quotes from him yesterday where he said that he's trying not to come into this season with any other desire except leave it out there. Say I left it all out on the field no matter what happens. I don't want to come in with the mentality of it's Super Bowl or bust, because when I step away, I don't want to step away with regret, even if it is for 1 year. I think the other side of that is, I think if he comes in and they get close and he doesn't win it, then he could be talked into coming back for another year, and then we got a whole new can of worms. But Rodgers said yesterday he does think this is going to be his last year as an NFL quarterback. He also said, hilariously, that he doesn't like attention, and that when his career is over, he doesn't think you'll hear from him anymore. As the old gamer phrase goes, press X to doubt.
Yeah, I don't doubt. I absolutely believe him. I think he'll disappear.
Yeah, we all know Aaron Rodgers hates attention, he said on his weekly hour-long showing on the Pat McAfee show, the most watched and listened to sports show in America.
Your sarcasm is noted, and a year from now, when we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers, I'll wait till the end of the year and go, hey, you know what we didn't talk about? Aaron Rodgers. You were wrong, Rob.
Maybe so.
So there.
Maybe so.
And
I
I'm patient enough to wait a year to say that.
Maybe he Dave Teppers us and we go, hey, okay, he did what he said he was going
to
do.
Dude, he's been on dark retreats. He goes out to the mushrooms. He'll go to the forest and you will never see him again.
And then what does he do when he does that? He comes back and goes on every podcast and talks about it for
hours. He comes back and goes to work. He comes back and does his job. But when you're retired, You don't have a job to come back and go to. So he also said that he hopes to help Will Howard. And I hope he does. Because if he can groom Will Howard to a degree where he can take over from him on that team, that would be kind of awesome.
All right, I do agree with that.
The next thing
I know.
That was a positive agreement. Okay, look at you. It is the end of the show. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Ironheart.
Ironheart made its 3-episode debut last night. I actually sat down to watch it last night, but the lady friend and I have been binging through Agatha All Along, which is, of course, the spinoff sequel to WandaVision from, 10 years ago or whatever it is. So I sat down to watch Ironheart, and she was like, I do want to watch it, but can we finish WandaVision? And I said yes, because I thought we had one episode left. Turned out we had like three. So we finished Agatha All Along. I am going to, this evening, we are going to sit. I'm going to put the Braves game on the little TV in the Bro Cave, and we are going to watch the first, at least one episode. Here's what I know. What I know is it got review bombed on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever it is before the episode even dropped. It got reviewed bombed. And here's what I'll say, because I was up way too late last night. Everybody I saw talking about it on social media last night said they were really pleasantly surprised by it.
Okay, it was delayed for a long time. When something is delayed for a long time, it makes me skeptical about how good it's going to be. I could care less about reviews. I always decide on my own watching something, and we plan on watching an episode tonight.
Yeah, I'll watch at least one, probably two, maybe all three, depending on if the Braves are getting their asses kicked or not.
Yeah, when something like that comes on at 9 o'clock, I'm not going to watch it because I might be excited and then I can't go to sleep. And I'm old and I try to not do that.
Yeah, a big part of my issue after we finished Agatha last night that I did not go ahead and start it, I was like, if this turns out to be good and I like it, then I'm going to sit here and binge all three episodes and I'll be going to bed at 1 in the morning, which I did anyway, but because of baseball, not Marvel superheroes.
All right. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is Jordan Grace.
I saw that she was X-ing, and my understanding, though I did not watch last night's NXT yet, was Jordan Grace debuted a new walkout song that apparently featured either lyrics or a lyric that is very evidently artificial intelligence, and okay, people are fighting back against it.
That's not why she's X-ing. Oh, okay. I didn't even notice that. There was a point where Lash Legend is on top of... She's got two girls in a headlock on top of the ropes, and Jordan Grace goes over the top to flip them. She misses, so she comes underneath and takes both arms and shoves them all off the roof. It's amazing. You need to watch it.
I will. I got to catch up. I got to get caught up. I have not watched last week's SmackDown, this week's Raw, this week's NXT, and when we apparently maybe have a PLE this weekend. Hey, we'll talk about it tomorrow when we do Fight Club at 9:20. See you tomorrow. Come back. We'll do better. Rob Alonso with you, The Rob Brown Show. It is The Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.